Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday. That's right. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. It's sort of like this giddy nature. I am obsessed. It's Thursday.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Let's celebrate.
It's Thursday.
Okay, wait. Like, what did we learn last week? We learned that, like, kind of the joy of Thursday greater than the joy of Friday. Like, let's just be here, you know?
Be present, be in the moment. It's all ahead of us. What do you have planned this weekend? Oh, you have Ben's birthday celebration. Even though his birthday was yesterday, it's giving toddler.
It's giving Margot Ostrich like birthday week when she was 19 and she was like a nightmare.
It's giving 21-year-old nightmare.
Ben is like actually really nuts about his birthday. Like,
I know.
With the Toastiversary party happening right around Ben's birthday, like, he was on my dick for weeks being like, when's the Toastiversary party? I need to plan my birthday. I'm like, okay, calm down.
Not even that. It was more so like, don't be planning Toastiversary on my birthday weekend. It's like, your birthday's on a Wednesday. I'm sorry to this man.
And as a man, that's all you get. You get the Wednesday and that's it.
But he took Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and he'll take Saturday for the hangover.
He didn't take Thursday. He's actually gone all day today with your husband on a work trip.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Sayonara.
You know what? I needed a break from like all birthdays, like for me. And I don't know if this is going to, like, maybe I'm exposing myself, like being a little too honest. But like, that's what I do here on this podcast. And I would love to know if anyone can relate. Like, other people's birthdays are like people that I'm very close to, like friends and family, like family, honestly, just family. Are very,
because you're only close to
literally, but I would only say this about like people.
Just kidding. We have a couple great friends. Shout out to our great friends.
Agreed. We have like seven, and I love them all.
They're like family.
They are. I would trust them with my life. And Tinks. Of course. Well, Tinks is family. what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So this is going to be like a really honest thing of me to say, but when it's other people's birthdays, like you, honestly, and like we're together, okay, or Ben, and yeah, like I spend the day,
say it with your
and
chest,
I spend
say it
the day with someone on their birthday, like I find it really difficult to get through. Like really, really, it's some of my like least enjoyable moments.
Okay, so for say it's my birthday and we like have a great brunch, say we go to like Bergdorf's and we do shopping and it's like a great birthday, like you're having trouble?
Yeah, and I find like, because you have to like act different towards people on their birthday. Like you have to be like, so like, yeah, you know, like, and it's.
You have a hard time being towards me?
Honestly, like the more I talk about it, I'm really not talking about you. Maybe I'm like exclusively talking about Ben. Like,
I feel like you are, because also you have to be like about things that like you don't want to be doing. At least when it's me or one of the sisters, like we all have the same interests. So it's like a fun swirly day. It doesn't sound like yesterday was swirly.
Actually, yesterday was really nice. Me and Ben had a fabulous lunch at Cipriani. It was really good. And then I took him shopping because, you know, I was like, you know, I could buy you a birthday present or you could just pick it out. Like, let's save ourselves time and energy of making returns. He got a fabulous Prada coat, like being a diva in the store. Then he got a massage. I sent him for a 90-minute massage so I could relax. And then he came home. Oh, I did make him do like one husband like thing because Ben has been complaining about the way like our cabinet is organized with our spices. And I'm like, all right, I have to do the influencer thing. I have to get the jars with the stickers. And so we did it.
Do you use my affiliate link for my store?
I didn't get what you got. I got a separate apparatus because your spices are in a pullout door pantry thing. Mine are right in a cabinet.
Oh, you got a rack.
I got a rack. And I made Ben spend like 45 minutes like unboxing, filling up the, he wanted to kill me, filling up the spices with the funnel, sticking the stickers on the top if they didn't have the right label, writing it in with the white marker. We did it. And you know, it being two people, it really took 20 minutes, but I know he wanted to kill me. That was like the one husband like thing I made him do on his birthday.
Even though it's ultimately for him, because who uses the spices?
Exactly, that's him. What I said.
But it's nice looking, that's for you, because he would use spices, you know, left out on the
exactly
table, start cutting them up, credit card.
And then we went to dinner with his family at this new kind of hotspot kosher restaurant. It really was a hotspot. I thought I was going to be the only celebrity there. I'm telling you, I'm in like my attracting celebrity phase. I told you, like, I've just been like seeing celebrities a lot, you know?
Yeah, so
and
who was there aside from
I
you?
I certainly wasn't expecting to see one at Malka, the new kosher restaurant on the Upper West Side, but you know, she's an ally through and through, Meghan McCain. She was eating at the kosher facility. I wrote in the chat.
Oh, thank goodness. You did, but I had so much going on yesterday. I barely got to enjoy the chat.
Oh.
And that's devastating. And I saw what you wrote, but in like a mirage, and I never got to come back to, because I
and
saw
she also gave me like a good piece of gossip, and I put it in there too.
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw and I was like, oh, I need to like save this conversation. Like, I'll check back in with it later. And I completely forgot. It feels like a dream, but that's exciting.
It was exciting, especially because like I have like, we have like texted and DM'd for years, like about initially about Bravo. And then when we got canceled, she was like one of the few people who publicly were like, everybody lay the fuck off these girls, please. And I like never forgot. And I always just like, I have a really warm disposition towards her. And then recently she's been such an outspoken advocate for Israel and the Jewish people. So she's just like, in my book, she's golden. I love her.
She's family.
She's like family, like Tinks. Except I've weirdly never met her. Yeah. And so I like, I felt weird being like, Megan? And like, I was like, thank God she recognized me because we really haven't. And she did recognize. Don't start, bitch.
Claudia, I know that I wasn't going to say anything like that. Like,
I could feel your energy. I could feel your energy.
Oh my God. Then your radar is so off because like, I know how like digitally close you are with
her. Okay, no, I thought you were going to make a joke. I was pushing off your joke.
What was my joke going to be?
Did she recognize you?
No.
Okay, good. Good. God, because she did.
No, like your relationship with Meghan McCain is like literal sisterhood compared to your relationship with makeup.
You know what? I don't want to get into this because one of us is going to end up hurt. And I have a feeling it's going to be me.
Okay, fine. But like, all I want to say is just stop assuming the worst in me. That's what I want to say.
Valid. I won't, but it's a valid feeling.
Thank you.
So yeah, it was just kind of fabulous. And then the day ended and I was like, TG, because it was like a laundry list of things I needed to yell at Ben at, but I couldn't do it on his birthday. So this morning he woke up super early, went on his flight to his work trip. And while he was on the plane and I woke up, I sent him like a litany of things I was upset with him about yesterday. And they were all so valid.
Can you tell us?
I'll tell, no.
Like, give us an example of the kinds of things that
No,
like,
I don't want
you.
To. I can't because I'll tell you why after.
It's too personal.
No, it's not. Okay, you know what? I'll just text it to you.
And I'll try to understand why. Like, I don't need you to like bear all about your relationship, but sometimes there are like universal things that we could just all relate to.
Yeah.
That are like healthy issues to have with your partner.
Look. You know,
like the time he almost missed the pharmacy and getting my migraine medication. Oh, yeah, you can share that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And that would,
Okay.
That would elicit a strongly worded text from me as well.
Of course. So, yeah, Ben cheated on me. No kidding. So thank God that's over. And I actually, even though Ben is being a diva about his birthday this weekend, it's so nice to have like fun things planned for the weekend. So Friday night, Ben is doing, he's decided to celebrate his birthday with his friends like over like a really fun lit Shabbat dinner, which actually sounds so fun and not like crazy, like 4 a.m, you know? And we're also going to Olivia Rodrigo. So it'll be a nice weekend.
Oh, that's nice. I have some fun weekend plans that I'll share on Monday.
Are they with Mary Orton?
No, good. I'm seeing Mary Warren in 2 weeks.
Good. I hope you guys have the best time. I hope you guys drink awesome shooters and have an awesome time and just soak up each other's awesomeness.
I just want to say, speaking of Mary Warren, when Claudia's in Israel, I'm doing co-hosts for the toast and I shared on the Patreon some of the co-hosts that I'm having and I do want to keep it like buzzy, you know? But not only do I have really exciting co-hosts, three things are exciting. Exciting co-host. One, actually, no sisters that week.
I think it's good. Sisters are like last resort.
Yeah. No, it's a sign of good things, but like I miss my sisters. Yeah. And three, I actually have two people who will be shooting with me in my studio.
That is so amazing.
I've never had a guest in studio with me.
It's Toast HQ SoFlo a dish and it's fabulous.
Yeah. I got to get my AC working in here.
You got to clean up.
Okay, rude. I will. No, it's just a pile of merch right there that the bins I got on Amazon were too small to accommodate.
Of course they were. also, so you're doing a week of co-hosts when I'm in Israel, which is so fab because I feel like you haven't done co-hosts in so long and I'm excited to be a consumer of that content. But then a few weeks later, I've decided I am going to LA for the 5K. And then I'm like, as long as I'm traveling 6 hours, I might as well make a meal of it. So I'm going to do 5 episodes in LA. Of course, I have Tinks booked. That was like the first call I made. But I kind of wanted to go out of our usual circle of people.
Out of network.
Out of network, especially because it happens to be a big week in LA that week. It's the 5K. It's the Netflix is a Joke Festival. So I've been in contact with Tim Dillon. He said he will do it, but like we'll see if it actually comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. I've also been in contact with Brooke Schofield. Now, I feel like the Toasters know who Brooke Schofield is, and I, for one, am obsessed. And I'm sensing a pattern because the last time I was in LA, I got connected on text with Tana Mojo, and I was like, Tana, will you please do the toast? And she was like, oh my God, yes. Literally ghosted me. I was put on text with Brooke Schofield and I was like, Brooke, I love you. I don't know if you know who I am, but like, I love the toast. I love you. The toasters love you. Like, it's a really great podcast. You'll love it. Like, please. And she was like, of course. It's like, okay, let me know who to reach out to. Ghost. So I'm really rooting for Brooke Schofield to come on the toast. Another out of network girly. But
I just want to say, Tinx is technically out of network since she's never done it before. Yes,
but I feel like Tinx's content is really similar to ours. A lot of our followers are Tinx's followers, especially since we became sisterhood. Sisterhood.
So, yeah. No, she'll be in network soon enough, but it's an inaugural thing. So it's kind of, it's fresh and different and it's new for the network.
And Ben is traveling with me. So just know, like, if Ben does an episode with me, it's because I couldn't find anyone else.
Of the caliber that you're looking for.
Of the caliber. Yeah, of course. Of people who, I want new people. No one, someone who's ever been on. Like, I want to shake it up Chicago. Shake it up Los Angeles.
You could do someone who's been on. That's amazing. There are some really good ones out there.
Of course. No, we've had, and I don't.
In network,
out of network. We've had some fabulous, fabulous people on this show.
And I also feel like I barely broached my network. Like, I was kind of like brimming with more people to ask. So if you're like listening, like, oh, why didn't you ask? Like, my text was on its way to you, but then things got kind of like confirmed really quickly.
There's also like a 4% chance I just like extend my trip in Israel. So good to have people on the backup, you know?
Oh, for sure. Okay, cool. You think so?
I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to get there and like it won't be enough time. And, and I'll feel like overwhelmed with like emotion and motivation to keep going and volunteering, you know?
Yeah, and farming. They need farmhands.
Do they?
For real. Yeah, because the farms were attacked. They were like burned down. A lot of the farm workers were murdered or they're off fighting in the war. Right. And they like totally decimated the farms. It was like an intentional thing to like get at the Israeli economy. I think like their production is down 30%.
Oh my God.
Since October 7th, they burned fields. They shot and like disconnected the feeds for like chickens and stuff. So they didn't even kill the chickens. But in the aftermath of October 7th, they didn't realize that those machines were broken. Like thousands of chickens died of starvation. No one there to pick the crops.
Volunteer at a farm? ? I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to save the Israeli agricultural system. Turdy. I need to like get clothes. Like not like fabulous clothes, obviously. Like I need like work clothes. I was saying, Ben, I need like work boots.
Yeah, you need work boots. And then I think just like
athleisure. Lululemon. I know. I need to go head over to Aloe, Lululemon, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just have like a very exciting month coming up at the Toast. We're about to celebrate our 6-year Toast anniversary, which maybe we'll do a Patreon episode, like at a glance, looking back on the years, things of that nature.
For sure.
Maybe take questions about like favorite moments. That's a good episode.
That is a good episode. Also, speaking of an anniversary, today is 1 year. A year ago today, I got my cerclage, my first
You're
one.
Lying.
I know. It's really sort of like
chilling.
It's been top of mind for me.
Chilling.
I've been thinking about it a lot. I feel like it's like I'm thinking about it even like, I don't know, processing it more now than I even did then.
We couldn't really take like stock of what was going on in the moment.
No, because we had to keep moving.
Once, that day in your bed, that was one of the worst days of my life and it wasn't even about me. Like, oh my God, that was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was today, the flight.
Today was the day where like we hadn't recorded the episode yet. You were like, I have a scan in the morning. I'll be right back.
I'm seeing this new doctor who's just going to like look at it and tell me I need a cerclage.
No. And now, not a cerclage.
The second doctor I was going to see so that they could look at me, like confirm I needed a cerclage like Dr. Fox had been saying over the phone. And then I would get the procedure down here. But they looked at me and they were even like more pessimistic than the doctor the day before. And they were just kind of like, go home and wait. And then Dr. Fox was like, if you come up tonight, we can do it here.
So you got the cerclage tonight. We were on the plane today?
We were on the plane today.
Oh.
Yeah, a year ago today, we were on a PJ.
Pittsville, USA, population cerclage.
Serious Pittsville. But two positive pivots.
Charlito.
One, Dr. Fox. Of course. No, but I'm just like pivoting the conversation because Dr. Fox, who's the GOAT, you guys, he's a household name here at the Toast. He actually has a book coming out
with Emily Oster.
And I think anyone who's been pregnant or given birth like knows Emily Oster because she is the girl, the go-to. She wrote Expecting Better, which was the one pregnancy book I did read. And then she wrote Crib Sheets, which is about like baby stuff, like, you know, baby book. And Dr. Fox co-authored her next book with her.
Okay,
and
Dr. Fox. It is about,
yeah.
Okay.
Not Dr. Fox, like being
celebrity. No, I got invited to the lunch party. I was like, oh, okay, lunch party in this like that fancy townhouse. I'm like, okay.
Okay. And the next book is about like pregnancy after a complicated pregnancy. So
that's literally you.
Yeah, that's what he said when he was telling me about it. Like, it's literally me. So check it out. It comes out in May.
Check it out. And speaking what's it of called? Books,
I'm gonna
no, just you two redheads. I'll find it because it's in my email.
Speaking of books, the redheads dropped today.
So big.
And I loved the book.
It's called The Unexpected, episode. Navigating Pregnancy During and After Complications. I like that.
Yeah. So if that is in your wheelhouse, definitely pre-order it. But speaking of books, the redheads dropped today. I loved the book so much. I need you to read it because I think you would really like it.
Okay, let me.
I keep telling you.
I know, by the way. Bye, baby. I haven't read a book. It's crazy. I'm so off reading.
No, Claudia, I only read one book a month now, and it's for the redheads. That's why I'm also grateful for the redheads, because I wouldn't be reading right now.
I've literally, in the last couple of months, only read my book club book, and my next book club book is Demon Copperhead. So I'm just kind of...
Read this first. It'll take you 2 to 3
days. I'm just like kind of preparing. But by the way, the last book I read, I believe, was...
Your last book club.
Yeah, First Lie Wins. And then before that, did you hear about Kitty Carr? And then before that, one dumb romance book, and then a book club. No, my God, I've only read 6 books this year.
No, I know. But it's just, I guess, not reading high time reading season right now. But read this. It'll get you like back. It'll get the bug. And you know the author wrote Tell Me Lies, which we love. So it was so good. The episode was weirdly, we were like, fighting. It was polarizing. Yeah, like 2 really liked it, 2 not as much.
I love when the girlies fight.
Yeah, because that way also the listeners, everyone's represented whether you liked the book or not. Yeah. There's something for you in the episode. And like, as I said, Redhead's Revolution, like the girlies got ring lights. Like things are happening.
The girlies got ring lights?
We got ring lights because we're going to be making clips.
You know me, like clips mean everything to me. I'm so excited. I feel like that actually will turn a lot of people into listeners. Not enough people know about the Redheads. Like in this, you know, the people who listen to the toast, if they read, I feel like they join the Redheads. If they don't read, there's really no hope for them in terms of becoming a Redhead. But I feel like not enough people know that there is this like monthly book club podcast out there that's like really just doing what nobody else is doing.
Yeah, and this book, this would actually be a great time to become a redhead because, like, the content is great, but also this book, I really think most people will like, and it's, like, a fun girly book with also a bit of intrigue. And then the next book is A Snitch's Choice, which is always, like, a fun, easy read. We're reading When We Were Enemies, classic snitch title.
Maybe I'll do 2 redheads books in a row. Also, major reading update for me is I bought this Kindle Oasis off of a toaster. Actually, she was, like... I was like, I'll pay you, or like, do you want just like a shit ton of merch? And she went for the merch, and I covered the shipping. So like everybody won. And then literally I got it a few days ago, and then yesterday Amazon reached out, be like, oh, you know, we're just continuing the Oasis. Do you want one? We have one laying around the office. So I will have 2, but like confirmation.
You'll need it for when you lose the old one.
Exactly, but what do you think's next for Kindle? Like, what do you think is the next Kindle? Like Oasis was their big new thing and they're discontinuing it for reasons unknown. It's literally the most popular one. I tell everyone about it. It's the best one.
So I think in size, it will be similar to that in Paperwhite. But I guess when I'm looking at it, like the black stripe on the right with the buttons, mm-hmm. like why is it so wide? Doesn't need to be that wide.
Yes, you do. You need a place to rest like your big ass hand.
I don't know. I think they're just like redesigning it. I think it could be more ergonomic.
But I don't know why they're discontinuing this one without launching the new one. Like there needs to be overlap. Like there's going to be a drop for a while. And I'm sorry, the Paperwhite, it doesn't cut it for me.
And do you think there's a correlation between Kindle discontinuing like their best product and Jeff Bezos being number 3, 1 billion behind Elon?
I think there's definitely a correlation between the Kindle being discontinued and Jeff Bezos sort of like being very lax in his work ethic. You know, he's happy, he's engaged, he's traveling. He had this big 60th birthday. I feel like he hasn't been attending meetings. He's kind of like... You know, some men, not a midlife crisis, but, you know, he's acting like a teenager again because he's in love. Like, I think that's reflective in, you know, the lack of product launches from Amazon. I do.
Interesting. Do you think Jeff Bezos reads on a Kindle?
No, I think he reads when he's drunk, just a little drunk, and he reads the newspaper.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I think Lauren Sanchez reads on a Kindle.
For sure.
Like, smut.
For sure. Like, I've never been more certain of anything in my life.
Yeah, she should become a redhead.
I love Thursday shows because, you know, yesterday we were busy. We had Vanderpump Rules. We had Dear Toasters. And we had the stories. So, you know, it was like, you know, a chug-along to make sure we hit all of the things we needed to hit. And then Fridays, we have Weenie and Queenie of the Week. You know, last Friday, we had Employee of the Month. And Thursdays just have become kind of a respite for me. Like, very relaxing, girly-girl chit-chat. They can be as long or as short, you know?
Yeah, and the stories, I think, reflect that.
Oh, they have a relaxed sort of karmic energy to them?
they have a there's not much going on sort of energy to them.
Love.
Yeah. I actually need to organize that.
Sure. So I have a little bit of business to attend to if you'd like to do that.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know.
And the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know are brought to you by KiwiCo Panda Crate, a bi-monthly subscription for babies 0 to 24 months. It's perfect for brain-building play, and it's made fun. The products are made with care. KiwiCo baby products are free of BPA, phthalates, and lead, and they only use non-toxic water-based paints and finishes. So what is KiwiCo? What comes inside the Panda Crate? So it's safe, science-backed play. When it comes to babies' playtime, trust matters, and KiwiCo is going above and beyond. It was designed in partnership with experts at the Seattle Children's Hospital. KiwiCo Panda Crates have products that are not only safe and of high quality, they're also age-appropriate, supportive of your baby's growth, and, you know, helpful in brain building. I feel like if you spend any time with a child, you know how difficult it is to keep them entertained. I feel like we get these toys and they're, you know, done in minutes. They're lights and colorful and it's never really stimulating. And KiwiCo Panda Crate is meant to be engaging, you know, meant to be stimulating. It's designed with care. Their thoughtful quality design choices and materials promote healthy development. Their products are designed with high quality materials, ensuring that they stand the test of time. It's meant to nurture your little one's growing brain through fun and engaging play. Unlock your brain building play with KiwiCo Panda Crate. Get 20% off your first month with code TOAST at kiwico.com/panda. That's 20% off your first month at kiwico.com/panda. That promo code is toast at kiwico.com/panda, code TOAST. Today's episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter seasons. You might be invited to a ton of alfresco dining situations, and that could actually be taxing. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? Therapy can help you give the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's done entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suitable to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. And once you do, you'll be able to communicate with them in whatever mode or medium that's comfortable to you. So if you want to talk on the phone, if you want to text, if you want to video chat, you can choose how you talk to your therapist. And a great thing about BetterHelp that a lot of people love is that you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So sometimes, you know, you meet with a therapist, it's just not a match. It's not a reflection on them. It's not a reflection on you, but it's so personal. It's so personality based that sometimes it takes like two or three times to find the right person. And it's so easy on BetterHelp as opposed to like canceling with one person in real life, that's so awkward. And then going and traveling to a bunch of different offices, trekking. No, BetterHelp makes it super, super easy to switch up a therapist. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/toast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/toast. BetterHelp.com/TOAST for 10% off your first month of BetterHelp.
Thank you, Claude.
You're welcome.
Our first story, Chance the Rapper and his wife, Kirsten Corley, break up after 5 years of marriage.
Shocking.
Was that sarcastic?
No. I happened to randomly know about Chance the Rapper. Like before he got famous, he like had this woman and he just loved her and he stayed loyal no matter how famous he got. And there was a point in time where he was like the biggest thing. All night I've been drinking, all night I've been drinking, all night I've been drinking it. And like he stand by your man, like really stood by her. And I felt so strong.
Yeah, well, she posted to Instagram saying, after a period of separation, the two of us have arrived at the decision to part ways. We came to this decision amicably and with gratitude for the time we spent together. God has blessed us with two beautiful daughters who we will continue to raise together. We kindly ask for privacy and respect as we navigate this transition.
You know, you hate to see it. You hate to see like a pre-fame relationship bite the dust. You know, of course, it reminds me in a different way.
Robert Herjavec.
Yes. Now, Robert Herjavec, I felt, had bad intentions. I don't feel as though Chance the Rapper does, but it just does remind me. I hate to see, you know, a man get successful and then leave. No, I don't think he's leaving her. Like they had kids and he's not even at the height of his fame anymore. It's different. It's different, of course. But I do love when a woman does it. You know, Kacey Musgraves in her first marriage. Not Rustin Kelly, the other guy. I was thinking about him the other day, actually.
Were they married?
Engaged? No, they, no, you're right, they weren't married. But they were in like a 7-year relationship, like really long. I think
they were together longer than she was with her husband.
Yeah, when she got famous, if you watch like some of her like Follow Your Arrow music videos, he was in her band. Like
he was in her band,
he's in every music video. He's like kind of the short one with like the buzz cut. And I kind of loved, I'm not gonna lie, I loved that era for Kacey Musgraves, I did. But when she left him, I was like, this is right. You know, that feels right.
Yeah.
And then when she was with Russ and Kelly, I said, that doesn't feel right.
You think?
I didn't love it.
Yeah, because it was your least favorite trope of two people who do the same thing and the woman is far more successful than the man and it can never work.
And actually, I was thinking recently about that generation of young women in country who all married men in the industry who were less successful than them and how they all fared. And for a while, I was trying to remember, did Maren Morris get divorced? Yes, right?
I think so.
Yeah, she was the last one. At first it was Kacey Musgraves, then it was Kelsea Ballerini. They both were married to country stars whose names, if you're not into country, you probably never heard. And then Maren Morris and Ryan Hurd, and he's a very successful songwriter. But when it comes to like fame and people buying his own music that he released, he wasn't nearly as popular as Maren. So yeah, was that all three? They're all gone?
Yeah.
That was a crazy time.
So can it work?
No, not in country.
Does it work anywhere else?
Let's think. So two people who do the same thing where the woman is like much more successful.
Like a big actress and a small actor.
I feel like a lot of the female actresses, they're really smart. They marry people in the industry, but who aren't front facing.
Behind the
directors,
scenes,
agents, producers.
No, I feel like two actors marry each other is a nightmare, especially like huge.
Okay, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. They're on the same level. I would say maybe
they defy the odds.
They defy the odds. I would say maybe she's a little bit more famous than him.
I think they go back and forth.
Yeah.
It depends what just came out. They're so even.
She's more Oscar and he's more commercial. Like he does Jack Ryan, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody watches that show.
No, so evenly matched.
Everybody watches that show, but he wins no awards.
It has to be a perfect match in terms of success.
Yeah. I mean, I added to the list of things I'm always bringing up, like in terms of success, perfect match, but different industries and why it works, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. But seriously, both at the top of their industry. So again, same exact level of success, more or less.
Yes. And I think it works even better because they're not in the same industry. There's really no overlap.
Yeah, but there are a lot of country couples, big and big.
Yeah, it's like, that's a thing. Faith and Tim, Trisha and Garth.
Garth, Tammy and...
George.
George and Tammy, even though they were together for 5 minutes, according to the show.
Who else? I love this game. Well, and also, I don't believe Chance's wife was in the industry at all, so...
No. Oh, yeah, we've gotten completely off subject.
Yeah, but it's hard to not get into that line of discussion because it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yeah, so I guess because it feels too soon. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you know who's like kind of a... No, it's too soon. You know who's kind of a couple of who... Well, of course, Beyonce and Jay-Z, but they're kind of not in the same industry anymore. And who would you say is more famous?
I think it just depends on your POV, because for me, it's Beyonce.
Yeah. You know who's another couple who's like kind of equally matched? They're not like the most famous though, but they're really William H. Macy and Felicity Huffman. Like,
are they still together?
I think so, even though he let her go to prison.
I feel like they're not. I don't know why I feel that. Because also, he went to the Homeless Not Toothless Gala in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yeah, they kept saying, like, William H. Macy's going to be here. And it's like, wouldn't he be with his wife?
That's true. Oh, wait, here. I just Googled Ashton and Mila. He's more famous, I think. But it works.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively.
Yeah. Classic.
Classic. But there's really not like a ton on this list. Ben Affleck and J-Lo, it's too soon to tell. Oh, I think like an OG, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yep.
Yep.
At one point, Kim and Kanye.
Yeah, at one point.
That's crazy that they were together, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of a mirage.
Yeah. So... sad. When I climb into bed, I start feeling sad.
Yeah, no, this sucks. Like, I love a famous person with someone who's like not, well, only when it's a man. I love a famous man with like a not famous woman. Yeah. I hate when a woman does it. It's like, girl, what are you doing?
But then we also say, get a businessman beau.
Businessman beau is different. I'm talking about just like not famous.
Like average Joe.
Yeah, no, like a titan of industry is different.
Okay, cool.
Ever since I heard the phrase titan of industry, I've said it now 3 times on the show, I've realized, it's become one of my favorite things. I heard
it's a great term.
I heard it in like kind of a sad capacity when someone was speaking about how like, you know, history always repeats itself and this is what happens to Jews. They're expelled from lands. They go to new lands. They're excommunicated. They're forced to, you know, start their own industries and then they become titan of industries and then they become so assimilated and then there's resentment and then that's like the peak, the arc.
And then their scapegoat.
And then Holocaust. Yeah. So yeah. I don't love how I learned the phrase titan of industry. Nevertheless, it's a good phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Elizabeth Hurley is reacting to the theories that she took Prince Harry's virginity.
Okay. Question mark.
Elizabeth Hurley was shocked by unfounded theories that she was the older woman who took Prince Harry's virginity.
Okay, wait.
Because in his book.
I totally see it, by the way. It's giving Diana and Nate in Gossip Girl.
Yeah. In his book, he talks about how an older English woman took his virginity in, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, just leave me alone, Gloucestershire.
No, Jackie, it's Gloucestershire.
And Gloucestershire?
Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire. And people were speculating that it was Elizabeth Hurley. So she was on Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday. And of course,
Andy had to ask her. Did Harry say it was a actress?
No.
Okay.
He just said an older English woman.
So it could have been someone's gran. Like, it could have been anyone.
Yeah, no, it could have been, like, a society lady. And yeah. I think people actually did kind of piece together who it was. Huh? But names in the running included Elizabeth Hurley. And she said, that was ludicrous. She said, quote, he said she was English. She was older than me. It was in Gloucestershire. And they were like, ah, it's Elizabeth.
It's so true.
It was absurd. It was ridiculous.
This is where
she said she's never even crossed paths with him. I've never met him in my life.
Well, that's shocking.
That is
two British royals.
Because I know for a lot of people, like, it's giving Nate and
Diana.
What was her name? Diana. But for me, it's the royals on E. She plays the queen.
That show.
That show was so amazing.
That girl is still married to the guy, right? From the royals, Alex Park.
She's married to which guy?
I don't know. She married someone.
Jasper?
Double check. Or maybe they dated. But no, I think they're married.
Alexandra Park. I feel like, no, you're onto something. This is familiar.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was Jasper.
Just who's her husband? Is she married?
How do you know who she is?
I have no idea. That's so funny because I never watched the show. And I just remember the actress who played like the main girl. Oh my God, no, wait, sorry. She's married to James Lafferty from One Tree Hill.
Oh, cool.
That's why her name sounded familiar to me because it triggered me.
I was going to say. I can't believe you brought that up.
Yeah, unintentionally. Moving on. One thing I have to say, like, this is why you've got to love Andy Cohen, because, like, he's asking the questions nobody else is asking.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we cleared that up. And honestly, her response is hilarious. Although, like, if I had read the book, I would have imagined Elizabeth Hurley, too, in my brain.
Yeah. Both, like, the real woman, because she's just, like, a fabulous English woman, but also because of every character she plays.
Exactly. And, you know, she is older than Harry. She is British. And, like, she's very sexy. And, like, I don't know. It's not that far off. It's not.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it wasn't her.
Damn. I wish it was.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yes. What number?
Some more. Three. Yeah. Some more inter-celebrity news.
Okay.
Michael Douglas discovers he's related to Scarlett Johansson on Finding Your Roots.
I love this show.
So Michael Douglas has discovered a fellow actor is also a distant relative, Scarlett Johansson, on the PBS series Finding Your Roots. The host revealed that he is a DNA cousin of Scarlett. He said, are you kidding? Oh, that's amazing. All right. This is cool. This is so cool.
So Michael Douglas is Jewish?
I was just thinking that, too.
I think he is, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not like the craziest thing. He's like looks kind of like an old Jewish man.
Oh, yeah. The two actors' branches of shared DNA appeared on Scarlett's maternal lines, which stretch back to Jewish communities in Eastern Europe. Yeah, because at the end of the day, we're all related.
Well, of course. Yeah. I like this show. I don't know what it used to be called. Olivia was obsessed with it. It's like, who do you think you are? It was like this TLC. And they got a lot of celebrities to agree to do it. And they did these extensive ancestral like background checks, and they've learned a lot of things about different families and different people, and then connected celebrities to other celebrities. And it was such a great show, and clips from that show are constantly coming up on my TikTok, and it really was such a brilliant concept. I didn't know they were still doing it on PBS, and I love that.
Yeah, that was like Ben Affleck, right?
Yes.
He found out that his ancestors were slave owners.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yikes.
I should probably double check that.
Yeah, that's giving major yikes energy. BYE, yeah. By Big Yikes Energy.
Ben Affleck's great-great-great-grandfather owned 25 slaves, according to a deleted segment of Finding Your Roots.
Okay, like, it's not his fault, like, a deleted segment. No, why do they have to delete it? Like, it's just unfortunate, but that's our history, like...
Yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate. Maybe they just, like...
Wasn't that a thing on Southern Charm, too? I mean, that's... Yeah. Makes a lot... I mean, it's from Boston, so it's, like, not that crazy, but it made, like, Southern Charm is, like, a lot of their families, because the big families, Calhoun, like...
Yeah.
They all.
Yeah.
No, I would love to get this done. Like, do you have to be a celebrity to go on the show?
Or are there, like, companies that do it for lay people?
Because, like, when you're of Eastern European Jewish descent, a lot of your history is, like, not your history, like, your ancestry is fakakt because we were all murdered at one point in time.
Yes, and of course the companies that do it for lay people are, like, Ancestry.com, no, that's not the 23andMe, you know, when they're not, like, getting all their data leaked.
Yeah.
But... like, people who are going to, like, make you a detailed chart, tell you, like, what this person did, if you have any, like, notable relatives. Yeah, like, a whole 360
version. Yeah, no, Ancestry.com is very, like, on the surface. And I don't want to give all my information to, like, this fakakt company. I don't know.
I'm sure there are, like, PI types who do this, like, privately for families.
I would love to do, like, a big-ass family tree. Like, well, I would like to just honestly hire someone to do it. I don't want to do it myself.
I'm sure this is some people's jobs. They, like, comb through records. Hopefully and they find...
someone will now reach out, because I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so fascinating.
And imagine getting to go history on TV and have someone do it for you. That's the dream. I'm getting publicity and a family tree.
Yeah. Unless you're Ben Affleck. And then it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have
done some this. Questionable. Yeah, yeah. Yikes.
Are you ready for our next story?
I don't know. I climb into bed and I start feeling sad. I feel like we're really rushing through these stories. Like, not intentionally.
No, not intentionally. That's what I tried to tell you at the top of the show.
You did. You tried to tell me and I wouldn't listen.
So I guess we could slow it down with this think piece.
Before you slow it down with your think piece, I have to let you know that the think piece is brought to you by Nutrafol. So we use Nutrafol. We've been using Nutrafol because if you have any sort of hair issue, like hair thinning, hair shedding, Nutrafol has a proactive approach and is going to target the root causes of those issues to help you, you know, be solution oriented. When my hair was, like, literally being brushed out and there were chunks on the floor, I freaked out. But instead of crying, no, I was solution oriented. And a lot of people recommended a bunch of different things to me, one of them being Nutrafol. I did it. I'm glad I did do it. And here's why. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. So you might have whatever type of issue. For me, I realized when I picked up, like, my front pieces, my scalp was, like, really visible. Like, the scalp to hair ratio was not giving what it needed to be given. And then when I would, like, you know, curl my hair or brush my hair or take a shower, I would just notice a lot more hair at the bottom of the drain or on the floor than I thought was healthy. So Nutrafol's 3-minute quiz will determine what the underlying root causes are that are keeping you from reaching your hair potential, and they will analyze your lifestyle biology and hair history. Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, they are offering our listeners $10 off their first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz, entering the promo code THETOAST. Take the quiz, get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code THE TOAST. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code THE TOAST. Today's episode is brought to you by NERX, a digital healthcare platform that makes it easy to get the expert healthcare that you deserve at every step of your journey. We know that everybody is different, so NERX provides treatment and care that's personalized to you. Through life's changes and transitions, NERX is here to help you make informed choices about your health with care offerings like birth control, anti-aging prescription care, and treatment for common mental health concerns, all tailored to your unique health history and goals. So the experts at NERX are here to help. Their licensed medical providers possess in-depth knowledge and expertise in a range of common health concerns. They help patients find the right treatment options based on their preferences and health history. There's no more one-size-fits-all approaches. It's only effective, tailor-made solutions. From birth control to wrinkles and dark spot treatments, NERX understands women's healthcare journeys are unique and ever-changing, and that's why NERX's care model provides a comprehensive treatment option specific for women so that they can receive ongoing, high-quality, integrated care, all in one place. So taking control of your reproductive health starts with Nurx. Their medical team is here to help with a wide range of reproductive and sexual health care needs. They have delivered birth control to more than 1.6 million patients in the U.S. It is accessible and discreet, so you can get your birth control received straight to your door in discreet packaging. No trips to the pharmacy are necessary. Thanks to Nurx for sponsoring the podcast. Taking control of your health starts here. Go to Nurx.com/toast to get started. That's Nurx.com/TOAST. Results may vary. Not offered in every state. Medications prescribed only if clinically appropriate. Consultation required.
Thank you, Claudia. Ugh,
it's just an absolute pleasure.
Our next story, some big music news.
Okay.
Big money moves for the band called Kiss.
Okay.
Kiss has sold their catalog, name, and likeness for $300 million to Pop House Entertainment. So Pop House Entertainment is a Sweden-based music investment firm that like is responsible for ABBA's hologram show,
A
tour. So now Kiss has sold all their crapola, and I think it's fair to say like there will be a
Kiss
hologram tour, but they've sold all of their.
What do you make of that, like value wise, 300 mil? Kiss, when I think of like name, likeness, like the makeup, the logo, like I think they have probably some of the strongest branding in band history. Like you could see a font and you would say that's the Kiss font, you know? And then the tongues, the hair, the outfits, the makeup, and then of course the music. I would say it's extremely valuable. I feel like they could have gotten more.
I would say it's valuable, but that does still feel really high. Like I'm impressed.
I'm impressed, but I feel like it could have been 500, honestly.
What?
It's really iconic. Like it really is.
Okay, like 500 million for a font?
No, not for a font, Jackie, for the brand.
And like,
exactly.
For a tongue.
By the way, that's is valuable.
Can you name a Kiss song? Welcome to the Jungle? I'm just taking a stab in the dark.
Is that a name of the song? Was that a guess or was that what you Googled?
That was my guess.
Oh.
And it's not on their top five on Spotify.
Give me their number one song, just the title.
I will, but I need to see who sings Welcome to the Jungle. Guns N' Roses,
same thing. Agreed.
I'm sorry.
But what does Kiss sing?
Okay, Kiss sings, I Was Made for Loving You.
I don't think I know that one.
Rock and Roll All Night, is that?
Wanna rock and roll all night and party every day.
Okay, I Was Made for Loving You is almost at a billion streams. I'm just going to take a quick listen because we have to know it.
Okay, but we're going to get demonetized. Like,
We don't do run ads.
No, I know, but turn it off. When we get demonetized, YouTube puts ads in our shit without us knowing. It's really annoying. I meant to tell you that we have to stop doing that. Play music.
I guess we'll never know.
People were commenting like, why are there so many ads? I was like, I don't know. And it's because we got demonetized.
So that they monetize.
Yeah, no, it's kind of bullshit.
When we get demonetized, we lose the choice to not have ads.
And then they just put that shit on us.
So we are choiceless.
Without consent, yeah.
Sick. Then also Detroit Rock City.
Okay, like Loki, I feel like they have like two ads.
Heaven's on Fire. Lick It Up.
Jackie, that's why they do this.
Yeah.
Okay, 300 feels right.
Yeah, I'm happy for them.
What do you think the Toast catalog, you know, discography branding is worth?
I mean, to me, it's priceless.
No, but like seriously. Actually, given what we know about our business, like, and the industry, the landscape, like if we were to sell everything.
Ourselves included or us Advit?
Ourselves included.
Like we keep working. They don't like then get everything and then like without us, it's worth zero.
Okay, no. Let's just say they get everything without us. Like, what do you think our work is worth? I think our work is worth, like, without any future earnings, like $25 million. I really do.
I agree with that. That's roughly what I was thinking.
Like, I think the industry would value it at as well. I think that's what the NASDAQ would say.
So, Pop House Entertainment, if you're interested in a Toast hologram tour, that's our price.
And I would love a hologram tour as long as they made me look skinny and tan.
Like, I'm in bed?
Yeah, right. But I'm earning. Obsessed.
Great.
Where do I sign up? ABBA, send the paperwork.
ABBA is a client, but yeah.
You know what I mean. Swedish House Mafia.
I love ABBA.
Swedish House Mafia, send the paperwork.
I love ABBA.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I love ABBA
too.
But
I hate Mamma Mia.
Yeah. What's your favorite ABBA song?
Distinction. I and think Dancing way, Queen.
This is what I mean about Thursdays. Like, we could just have these types of conversations, you know?
Yeah, we're in no rush. Honestly, Dancing Queen, I know it's so basic, but like every time I hear that song, a chill runs through my body.
Okay, there are a lot of ABBA songs. Chiquitita, you and I know, that really give me the chills. But one in particular, because I feel like you get added to the list of stories I've said. Have I said this before?
I don't know what you're about to say.
The winner takes it all.
I was about to say winner takes it all too, but I don't know why what's your story?
Did you guys ever see the documentary Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey? One moment really stuck with me when this girl was like really thinking about leaving this like fundamentalist, disgusting, like marrying young women cult. And somebody snuck her in like a Walkman and a CD, and the CD had one song on it. It was an ABBA CD with one song, and she went to this like mountaintop. It was giving very much Sound of Music. She's on this mountaintop, Jackie, and she's listening to this Walkman, and it's just this one song that she's listening to over and over again. The winner takes it all, and she decides to run away with her boyfriend and leave this cult. And then the next day, he decides to stay and snitches on her. Like, she made this huge decision and this man betrayed her. But they had this reenactment in the documentary. She's like literally in this like, it's literally giving the Sound of Music because she's in this frock from her cult and like this hat. And she's just sort of like standing in the wind and her dress is flowing. And she's like, the winner takes it all. The loser's standing tall. Like, it was really moving. And I just love that song.
It's a great song. I'm glad that brought you to it.
What's another also, Don't go wasting your
so good. Limo. Also, Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight classic.
So relatable. Like, I feel like it's just like a lot of women like have a cocktail and they're just like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah. Mamma Mia, like classic. Yeah, fine.
Hate.
Take a Chance on Me. So cute.
Take a Chance on Me. Yes.
Lay All Your Love on Me.
That's what I was just singing. Lay all your love on me.
So good. Super Trooper, Margot's favorite song.
Super Trooper, lights are gonna blind you like I always do. By the way, I think I need to add some ABBA to my running playlist.
I was just thinking that. Sometimes like one song will come on and then I go to ABBA and I just listen to all of them.
I mean,
so good.
So good. I feel like TikTok has had a huge influence on ABBA, like having a resurgence. And I think honestly, if they went on tour, especially in America, like people would go, young people would go.
Oh my God, it's probably a blast. And I just want to say, I know TikTok is responsible for ABBA's resurgence, but the cream rises. Like, I'm sure TikTok tried with others.
Kiss.
I'm sure there was also, I think with companies like that, they sometimes will like put forth an artist just to see how much influence they have. Like, can we make this thing that nobody cares about? Can we get people to care about it? But ABBA, like, it's so organic.
It's true. It's talent.
Waterloo, what's that?
No clue. Don't play it.
She won't let me play it, so we'll never know. But it's number one on This Is ABBA on Spotify.
I mean, feel free to leave the room and go listen to it. Like, for real, I'm not fucking around.
Wait, does this have a headphone jack? No. That's like, oh, no.
I guess we'll never know what Waterloo sounds like. And that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Chiquitita, you were just
Chiquitita,
saying that.
Chiquitita, you and I know.
What's money, money, money?
I have no idea.
We'll never know because we can't play it.
We'll never know.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Oh, it just feels so final, you know, but I am. Like, I actually have a busy day of things to do, so I shouldn't dilly-dally.
Yes, and so in more emerging news from Quiet On Set, Drake Bell joined the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast, and he talked about the child, crimes against a child, charges against him, and started to clarify what it was going on. So Drake
and
Bell...
And I have to say, I did my own research when the documentary came out and I learned a lot about it too.
Yes. And a lot of people were like commenting things about the case, which, you know, have to fact check, but it seems as though it's not like, it wasn't
it's
so
not
clear
black
cut.
And white.
And now he's speaking out about it. And he said, Drake Bell has vehemently denied the allegations that he groomed a teenage girl nearly 3 years after being arrested for crimes against a child. So he said Tuesday that the claims were not true and that he only pleaded guilty because he had been financially devastated at the time. He said on Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast, I responded on some DMs and was incredibly irresponsible and got myself into conversations that I shouldn't have had. I ended up finding out that I was talking to someone that I shouldn't have been talking to, and it snowballed into these allegations that were not true, and it just turned into this big thing. He pleaded guilty in June 2021 to a felony, attempted child endangerment, and misdemeanor disseminating matter harmful to juveniles. He was sentenced to 2 years of probation. He said, I just had a son, and I didn't want to put my family through all of this anymore. I ended up going through the process the way that I did. Very regretful.
Yeah. A lot of something that I learned during my research on Drake Bell after Quiet on Set was that there were a lot of allegations made against him. And during the actual like court process, it was proved that the girl actually lied about her age. Therefore, like, you can't groom someone if you think they're 19 or whatever. And that a lot of the allegations turned out to be not true. However, like he said, due to his circumstances, he just sort of like let it happen. But then also I think it was kind of easy to believe, and maybe still is easy for people to believe, because that's how like abuse works. It's a cycle. Like, you become a victim of abuse and then you become an abuser. And it's on you to break the cycle, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah. So I think people believe this. Also, he pleaded guilty, so it didn't feel like
it's giving guilty.
Right. But now he's explaining why he did that and that it's not what it seems, and it's not nearly as nefarious as we would have thought. So
yeah.
I'm glad he's having this opportunity to clear his name, because I do feel like up until it was Quiet a big question came out, and he was just kind of like discarded.
Yes.
You know, as just like
crazy.
Crazy and also like pedophilic, you know?
Yeah, creepy.
When it's like there's so much more to the story and it's not that.
Yeah, yeah. But also when he told his truth on Quiet on Set and everybody was really championing him, there was also this other conversation being had online. People being like, well, what? And honestly, good on Amanda for asking the question, because I think that's probably the number one question a lot of people had for him. And yeah. It's like, well, thank you for sharing your story and everything, but like, what about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Two things can be true.
Yes, for sure. But I feel like now we're getting a full picture.
And I actually, I understand his explanation.
Yeah. So those are the Fast Five stories.
You need to know them.
You need to know them. And if anything, I feel like it's going to inspire people to listen to ABBA today. And I feel like we can sleep well knowing that that's our influence.
I feel like today you're going to be influenced after this podcast to listen to ABBA and listen to the Redheads. Just an idea.
And I feel like you're going to be influenced to read the book.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Once I pick up my Kindle, that's what I'll read.
Once she picks up her Kindle, it's over for you, bitches.
And also, like, the reason I haven't read is because I'm reading Demon Copperhead, and I want to read a physical copy of it, because, like, when I'm out and about on the plane, like, and I'm reading Demon Copperhead, like, I want people to know I'm reading Demon Copperhead, you know? So I will not be, I haven't started it because, like, I'm not starting that shit on my Kindle. I'm sorry,
no one has seen you.
I'm not. Like, I'm just not starting it on my Kindle. Like, when I go to Israel, like, I'll be in the airport. Like, I need everyone to know. And yeah, then I'm flying right to Florida.
Right now you'd be reading at home and no one would see what you're reading.
I could only read Demon Copperhead in public, so people know I'm like a scholarly woman.
But don't you feel like you'll have a hard time processing the words if you're just like thinking about everybody looking at you?
No, I thrive off of everybody looking at me.
No, yeah, you thrive, but that's not conducive to reading comprehension, especially with such a meaty, chewy book.
That's true. That's true. I might have to take some time to reading inside.
It's chewy.
Oh, don't say that. I'm hungry.
What are you gonna have for lunch?
I don't know. Like, my life has kind of become like decentralized to lunch. Like, dinner is like so my energy these days. Like, I'm of course having lunch, but it's not like, it's not special.
The big to do.
I feel like, you know, in recent weeks, like, we've talked about lunch extensively, and like, it's really been the center of my day. My whole day revolves around my dinner. I like, that's so
excited.
You
don't do your TWB or your wrap after this?
I haven't done a warm bowl or a wrap in a while. I'm always just kind of like eating on the go, you know, as a working woman, like some chicken, some fruit, like nothing exciting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Dinner is the main event around here. Lunch, maybe dinner. Some egg whites. Even I was thinking maybe a Taylor Farms, but last time I had a Taylor Farms for lunch, it like sat out on the table. I couldn't even get around to finishing it.
Because we're busy working women.
Yeah, we need like a smoothie.
Perfect for a gal on the go. Guys, it's been a pleasure hanging with you. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere. Podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast, leave a 5-star review about our beautiful setting and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow for Friday.
Love ya. Bye.